I used to play basketball back in high school. I was never really too good or anything. I just played so I could say I played a sport and to put something on my college resume. This one particular game, we were playing some nearby school, I can't remember the name of it, but we were home. This wasn't a very important game, so not a lot of people were watching the bleachers. I think we were down like 22-13 when some kid on the other team started trash-talking me and a few of my teammates, but mostly me, making fun of my size and my hair. It got to the point where after every shot I missed, the kid would throw some wise-ass comment my way. Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore, and I shoved the kid as hard as I could. He fell on his back, sliding off the court. My teammates held his teammates back from attacking me as the ref blew his whistle and ejected me from the game. I didn't care. It felt way too good to feel bad about it. I walked right past my coach, not even batting an eye, and went straight for the locker room. The door was locked for some reason. I didn't want to have to awkwardly ask my coach to go unlock it, so I went outside and went around to the other side of the boys' locker room, where there was an outside entrance. Strangely, that one was open. That door was never left open. As I stepped into the locker room, I realized it was as cold in there as it was outside. The door must have been open all game. The lights also weren't on, and I didn't have my phone on me, so I couldn't use the flashlight or anything. I shut the back entrance door and began feeling around the walls like a blind person, looking for the light switch. Over the sound of my skin rubbing against the brick wall, I heard a locker click. The sound of one of the lockers closing. I confidently called out, "Who's there?" assuming it was one of my teammates. No reply. It was dark in there, but not the kind of dark where you can't see anything. I began a slow walk down past the aisles, scanning each one for anybody who could have made that sound. And all the while I heard footsteps in the room, so I knew I wasn't alone. I got to the last aisle and saw for a mere second at the opposite side of the aisle, someone really big moving behind the lockers as if they were hiding. I felt my heart skip a beat and was officially freaked out. So I decided to just leave and wait for the game to end to get my stuff. I made my way to the main entrance and tried to pull the door open, but it was locked from the inside too. I found the light switch right next to the door though, and the return of light made me feel a little better. With the light on, I gained the confidence to just confront whoever was in the locker room. Again, I started doing laps around the locker aisles, but I didn't see anyone. However, I still heard the footsteps opposite me wherever I went. If I was in one aisle, I heard the footsteps exactly opposite me in the next aisle over. I continuously called out, "Who's there?" I never even got so much as a cough in response. I became almost out of breath walking and running around the aisles so much. I then looked at the lockers and realized that in between them were tiny holes in which you could see over to the next aisle. I had an idea. I could peek through one of those holes and see who was on the other side. And so I quietly got on my knees and put my eye up to one of the holes. At first, all I thought I saw on the other side was darkness, as if something were blocking it. But I quickly realized what it was. What I was looking at through that hole was an eye. I ran out that back door quicker than I'd ever run in any of my games. When I went up to my coach, who understandably looked annoyed at me, I told him there was someone in the locker room. At first, he assumed it was just the janitor, but after I convinced him it wasn't, he looked at me with a look on his face that told me he believed me. After the next call, he told the refs to pause the game that there might be an intruder in the locker room. Half of my team and the coach went in to investigate. But by that time, whoever was in there was gone. I didn't feel stupid or anything, as everyone seemed to believe me. I mean, the room was freezing and the back door was still open, for crying out loud. What we did find out at the end of the game, however, was that four of my teammates were missing their clothes from their lockers. All of them from the freshman locker aisle. I think I figured out what kind of person I was in that locker room with. and I'm just happy I never caught him. My brother is a hockey player, but he's only 13 years old, so I have to drive him to his games and practices a lot. His team always plays in an outdoor rink, so it usually gets really cold out. A couple weeks ago, I took my brother to his game, and since I usually get bored when I stay at his games, I took my girlfriend Michelle to watch with me. My brother's team was down like 4-0 by the end of the first period, and we really weren't enjoying it anymore, so me and Michelle decided to go to a more private location, not for anything sexual, just to smoke the stuff we brought with us. She's not a big smoker, but I'm usually able to convince her to light up with me. The park that this rink is in is very foresty. About half of it is nothing but dense forest. Locals call it the Burning Woods for obvious reasons. Me and Michelle found a good spot behind a few big trees, and a few moments later, after lighting the bowl, we heard footsteps approaching us. I put the lighter and pipe away quicker than I even had time to think about it. We heard a chuckle as two guys, lower to mid-20s, came into light. One of them had a painfully cliched mohawk with a green stripe and black fuzzy hair beneath. The other, a big bald guy with a goatee. The guy with the mohawk laughed and said, "It's cool, don't worry about it. You got enough for two more?" My first instinct was to say, "Piss off, I'm spending time with my girlfriend." But for some reason, the words that came out were, "Yeah, I think so." I'm a serious coward. I always think of appropriate things to say in my head, but I never gather the courage to actually say it. After I said yeah, he told me he was just kidding, but that he had some super dope Durban poison or something in his car if we were interested. I looked at Michelle, who shrugged her shoulders, but I knew deep down she didn't want to go with them, just like I didn't. I then looked in the direction of the hockey game. I told them, "Nah, it's okay, we were just finishing up anyway." The guy just nodded his head and said, "Oh." He stuck out his hand for a goodbye high five / handshake, and I shook his hand. I directed Michelle back in the direction of the hockey rink. We both agreed that those guys were weird. We stopped when we thought they were far away. It's not like there wasn't any point in not smoking just because of that encounter. I gave Michelle the pipe and lighter, and as she flicked it, I could swear I heard footsteps moving through the leaves again. I did a quick side glance about 2:00, and I knew he was there. The guy with the green mohawk. He was standing behind a tree with his head just kind of peering out from it. I did that thing with my eyes, looking over in that direction to kind of hint at it to Michelle. I didn't want to confront the guy, because at this point, I knew something was wrong with these guys. And as I was already having no part of this, we both heard a stick snap from right behind the tree we were standing by. I pulled Michelle with me as we walked back closer to the hockey rink and back into the light. At this point, I lost interest in smoking. I just wanted to go back to the safety of the bleachers. We made it past the tree line and back onto the path when we heard one of the guys call out,
"Hey, come back."
We turned around, and there they were. The two guys standing by the edge of the tree line, maybe 20 feet away from us, with haunting smiles on their faces. And then I looked past them and saw a third guy behind them, half covered by a tree.
"No, it's okay, guys, thanks,"
I yelled back.
"It wasn't a request."
Those words hit me like a bullet. I dared not turn around. I simply nudged Michelle forward even faster to the bleachers that were now only about 50 feet away. I feared if I turned around, I'd see a gun or something in his hands. We made it back safely to the bleachers with the feeling of comfort being around other people. The game ended, and my brother's team lost 9-5. My brother stayed after a bit to speak with his coach, who was offering him a position on his other team, and by the time he was done, just about everyone had already left. With 3 cars in the parking lot, we all got into my truck and went home. But on the way out of the parking lot, I noticed immediately that the car behind us was tailgating and then shortly after started honking. I knew it was them. It had to be. They must have waited for us in their car. Why were they targeting us specifically? We didn't do anything. By a lucky break, though, we didn't even have to drive all the way down the street. Parked on the corner of a side road, seemingly waiting to give tickets to unsuspecting drivers, was a Ford Explorer police car. We pulled up next to it, and the car behind us kept driving past. The cop rolled down his window, and we pointed at the car, telling him that those guys were harassing us. All the cop did was nod his head and say okay before rolling up his window. I took that as our cue to drive away, but I drove slowly, hoping to see his car turn on along with his lights. They didn't. For whatever reason, he didn't care to chase them down. 2 weeks later, it still bothers me every day, and this whole situation still scares me every day. All my life, I'll never forget this experience. I've always had a close group of friends who I could relate to and that we all loved baseball. Six of us were on the same team in a league, while all eight of us consistently played pickup baseball with each other. We lived in the country, and there was this really low-key, convenient little clearing in the woods which had a baseball field and a basketball court. I shit you not, it was almost like our own little private park. Nobody else was ever there. Mostly because nobody knew about it. It was off some dead-end dirt road with nothing on it, and it was surrounded by nothing but forest. We were all 11 or 12 years old at the time, and living in the country, you tend to have parents who are a little more lenient with letting you out unsupervised. At least that's how it was for us. This field was about a quarter mile away from my house, so I always walked with my baseball bag containing my bat, glove, and a few extra balls. This was the day that ruined it for our whole group in this park. It was a Friday night, middle of July, so the sky was turning that deep orange as the sun was setting. That meant our game had to be wrapping up soon. I was coincidentally up at bat when two of my friends who were out at field pointed to something. We all turned and saw a huge group of men entering the little clearing and sitting down on a nearby bench. There were six men. I guess thinking back now, I'd say they were in their 20s or 30s at the time. I wouldn't say that they had a gang-like appearance, but they sure didn't look like guys you'd want to run into in a dark alley. The disturbing part was that they all either sat or stood there just watching our group playing baseball, and I could see and hear them laughing and making a lot of noise. We all looked at each other and kind of mutually agreed to pack up, since it was getting late anyway. As we all started putting our stuff in our bags, they all started calling out, "Aw, don't leave!" As we all high-fived each other saying our goodbyes, we looked back at the bench, and we got scared when we saw all six men were now standing up, still watching us. You may think this sounds dumb, how a group of eight kids would get scared because some people entered a park, but you don't understand the way they were intently staring at us. Now here was the bad part. I usually tended to walk alone since my house was in a different direction of everyone else. I asked my friend Jordan to kind of escort me out of the clearing and to the dirt path that I walked on just so it wouldn't be so obvious that I'm walking alone. Then I gave him a high five and we went our separate ways. It was getting really dark now, in the woods especially. That's why I always kept a flashlight in my baseball bag. Every click and every snap in the woods made me shine my light over in paranoia. My heart was actually racing. I just wanted to get home safely and get to my nice warm bed. Each step in the dirt seemed to become louder and louder as I became more sensitive to the sounds around me. I felt sweat dripping down my cheek as I heard laughter and screaming in the near distance, not of my friends, but of grown men. I picked up the pace, thus causing a few of the spare baseballs to fall out of my bag, which I had apparently forgotten to zip up. I sighed in annoyed breath, dropped the bag, and hurriedly looked for the balls with my flashlight. The subsequent snapping of leaves and twigs from behind me made my heart drop. I turned and shined my light to reveal a tall man in a black hooded sweatshirt with the hood covering his face inching his way closer to me, only after I revealed him in the light, he wasn't inching anymore. He was full on running toward me. I felt life almost escape me as I ran for my life, dropping the flashlight and leaving all my baseball gear behind. I could hear my chaser behind me all the way until I saw the light from my house. I screamed for my mom and dad, and that's when I heard my chaser turn around. My mom and dad were hysterical in reaction to what I told them, and called all seven of my friends' parents asking if their kids were alright and explaining the situation. Thankfully, all of my friends made it home okay that night, though my friend Jordan was actually followed briefly as well. He told me he wasn't chased after he started running, though. After this incident, all of our parents stopped allowing us to go to that field. We still live in the same house, and it still makes me a bit uncomfortable knowing that one of those men, therefore all of them, know where I live.